honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
So many people love watching the NFL, and one thing we need to keep in mind, though, is that a lot of NFL players are having issues with concussions, and there's also other contact sports. We need to be aware of this. We've got to be able to talk about traumatic brain injury, what's involved, and what we can do. So I am so glad to have, or we're so glad on this show to have brain doctor Harry Karycidis. Hello, Dr. Karycidis. Welcome to Naturally Savvy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. So let's talk about this. I hear there's a lot of lawsuits and a lot of things going on around the traumatic brain injuries that are happening in NFL players.
Oh, yes. The topic of sport-related concussion injury has become basically something you see in the news almost every day. A lot of it is driven by some of the high-profile lawsuits, the NFL for one, NCAA. And this is bringing concussion awareness to the public.
Well, you know, I think we've all heard the word concussion, but describe exactly what it is when someone has a concussion.
Sure. A concussion is a brain injury. It's the result of having either a shaking or twisting or a blow to the head that jars the brain. And the brain, which is much like the yolk in the center of an egg, it's not held in place by anything. And there's a certain sloshing effect in which the brain will slide forward and backward, slamming into the inner table of the skull, resulting in injury.
Now, there's a lot of soldiers that are ending up with traumatic brain injuries. Is that something that you deal with as well?
Unfortunately, yes, we see that as well. You know, the blast injury in which you have the force of a blast that does the same kind of mechanical trauma to the brain. And as a result, we're seeing a lot of problems with emotional dysfunction, memory and thinking issues, and dizziness, headaches, migraine-like headaches, in addition to post-traumatic stress in these military troops.
Oh, I bet. That must be so hard. But why don't you tell us a bit about your practice and what you do and how you help folks with brain injuries?
Sure. I've been a neurologist for over 25 years, and over this time I've been focused on cognitive neurology, which is the neurology of memory, thinking, and emotion. It's sort of the meeting ground between neurology and psychiatry. And recently I've developed a particular interest in concussion injury, particularly the concussion injury related to sports. In fact, right now I'm standing in the UN building in New York City where the hashtag C4CT, or Coalition for Concussion Treatment, conference is going on. We have a summit conference going on right now to discuss these very issues as they apply to our nation's athletes, both young and old.
Wow. You know, I have a question. I'd like to know, so now, obviously, these are applicable to athletes, the concussions, but what about kids? Because a lot of the children, you know, I know I have three kids, and I can count on my, you know, my hand the number of times my son, he's very active in sports, or he's hit his head doing something, or, you know, hit his head on playing sports, or whether he fell off a bed or whatever it is when he was a kid. Are these all dangerous for the kids, or is it something like we have to look at when they're adults only? I guess I just want to get a bit of an idea as a parent, for those parents listening, how serious is this and how can we help prevent our kids from, you know, getting these, and not necessarily concussion, but even just hitting their heads, right?
Sure, yeah. As far as concussion is concerned, up until now, we've been focused on the development of symptoms in response to having a blow to the head. And these symptoms are headache and nausea and sensitivity to light and memory and thinking issues and even emotional issues. And that's what defines the concussion. In fact, many people think that concussion requires loss of consciousness, where in fact only 10% of concussed individuals actually lose consciousness. But now,
that's,
you know, we're starting to see this concern about what they call subconcussive hits, which means that the brain is taking mechanical injury that isn't sufficient to develop symptoms, but with repetition over time, we have concerns about the development of attention problems, focus, memory, thinking, and even emotional problems.
So could they, so some of the issues, I guess, with certain kids, let's say, does it exacerbate symptoms of, let's say, kids who have ADD or ADHD or any of these other, let's say, behavior issues?
Absolutely, and it really goes both ways. The concussion or even subconcussive hits can affect the learning disability, the attention problems. But then the other way around is that the attention problems may affect the ability of a physician or healthcare practitioner to really identify whether a concussion is present or not. This is why it's so important to have baseline testing prior to the gameplay or the season starting, so that if a concussion occurs, the healthcare provider can actually look back and see where that person was functioning before the season started and compare the performance of the athlete after a concussion might have occurred.
So what are some of these testing that they do? Is it MRIs? Is it CAT scans? What do they do? And is this typical for athletes? Like, my husband's a huge NFL fan, so I guess this is where kind of I'm interested in that respect. So do they test athletes in general, let's say, who are in the major leagues, and what are they used for the testing?
Sure. So it goes through both professional, collegiate, in high school, and now even in the grade schools, elementary and junior high schools, where baseline testing is performed like I described. And it's basically what it is a memory, thinking, and symptom checklist kind of test. You can find a lot more about this on our website. It's www.excellentbrain.com, XLNTbrain.com, where we describe the symptoms of the concussion and the method of baseline testing.
So we have about, 2 minutes left, and what I'm curious is, so let's say, for example, when it comes to the athletes, what are some things, or even our kids, what are some things that we could do as, let's bring this to the kids for a second, as parents, let's say when our kids hit their head or they get a concussion, and that was a great point, by the way, that not everybody loses consciousness. I didn't know that, and that's an important point, I think, for parents listening. What are some things that we could do immediately, other than obviously bring them to the hospital, but what are some things we could do? Is there anything we could do to help them, pretty much after it happens?
The first and foremost issue with treatment, if a concussion occurs, is rest. That involves both physical rest and also cognitive rest. Now, that doesn't mean that the person has to go to bed. It's a relative rest. It means that the person needs to rest enough that they don't provoke the symptoms of the concussion. If they're starting to get headaches, if they start to get dizzy, or if they are having difficulty with concentration, even if it's just texting or using the computer, that's too much. And the individual, the concussed individual, has to go to a more restful state. The fortunate thing about concussion is that the majority of them will recover within about 7 to 10 days. But there are cases where the post-concussive syndrome can actually last for weeks and sometimes months.
Well, we have about 50 seconds left of the show, and I'm just more curious about this. I remember reading a long time ago, boxers who, get hit in the head a lot, and then, Muhammad Ali, for example, got Parkinson's. Do you believe that there's a connection between constantly getting hit in the head and some type of chronic or illness that happens later on?
Absolutely. And what you're referring to is a condition now known as chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And that condition is a dementia-like condition, which also includes emotional dysfunction, which is affecting a large proportion of our NFL players.
Well, thank you, Dr. Karasidis. You were a very interesting topic for me, but unfortunately we're out of time. So you could visit Dr. Karasidis' website, xlntbrain.com. I'm Andrew Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. Thank you for listening to us on Radio MD.